broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 6th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, what are the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm on the road live from Branson, Missouri. It's an incredible place, I'll tell you that right now. We'll get into that as the broadcast unfolds over the next several days. But man, we were live on Thursday. Then on Friday and Saturday, we took a break. Long story, a bunch of us were out of town and doing family, God family, remember that first, right, stuff. So we were taking care of all that. It was phenomenal. We had some wonderful times, and hopefully we put together some incredible rebroadcasts for you. You know, every show we do is just epic, and so that's why even a rebroadcast is worth hearing, especially if it's a few weeks ago and it was an incredible show, or a couple of months, or even a couple of years ago. Sometimes bringing that information back of how spot on we were even a couple of years ago when it comes to things going on right now. I mean, it's amazing when we talk about the different things that are happening, right? Anyway, long story short, there you have it. We're live, though, today, and our Thursday show was quite good, in my personal opinion. We talked to our guest, Nick Testaccio. He's a father, he's a veteran, he's a deeply concerned citizen, and, you know, he believes that we got to restore the republic, ladies and gentlemen, and I agree with him. RestoreTheRepublic.org is where you can find a bunch of Nick's articles, all right? Now, Nick said he had a question for Sheriff Richard Mack and for Sam Bushman, myself, and he emailed us. And so then I wrote back and kind of answered his questions, and Richard answered his question a little bit and stuff like that. And then I thought, you know what? His content would make for great radio. It would really help people understand where we stand and why, help Nick get out his ideas and explain his viewpoints and why. Anyway, we did 2 hours on this. And in my opinion, it was a great, great discussion about militias. And the militia clause in the United States Constitution is Article 1, Section 8, Clauses 15 and 16, where it says Congress shall have power to, calling forth of the militia, to execute the laws of the Union, to suppress insurrections, and repel invasions. And the militia, believe it or not, arose from posse comitatus, if you will, the idea that constitutes the people as a whole, and embodying the Anglo-American idea that the citizenry is the best enforcer of the law. Now, what is it about the militia that most people recoil regarding this? It's the law of the land, ladies and gentlemen. All right, and we talked about the first Militia Act of 1792. We continued the second hour with this same guest. And we talk about that when we answered his questions, Nick's basically saying, hey, guys, why don't you just get on the militia bandwagon? Why are you afraid of talking about militias? Why are you so hesitant to talk about this constitutional necessity? And I basically came back and said, look, Nick, we're not afraid to talk about it at all. In fact, I'll give you 2 hours to talk about it to show you. We're not afraid of the discussion one bit. It isn't that we shy away from militias. It isn't that we don't believe in militias. It isn't that we're afraid to associate militias. None of those things are true. However, it is that militias are very complex in American history. They're very convoluted. From the 13 colonies all the way through till now with the 50 states. Why are they convoluted? Why are they complicated? Because things have changed. Okay, we live in the real and teach to the ideal, and I explained this in great detail. All right, let me give you an example to make the point. Before the Declaration of Independence, we were under King George. Did militias have a role then? Under who? Do the militias have authority? Then what about after the Declaration of Independence, when we virtually had, what, no country? What about then when we had the Articles of Confederation? What about when the Articles of Confederation were replaced with the supreme law of the land, the Constitution? What about when certain states were not members of the Union? Or I should say certain colonies, right? What about the Act of 1792? What about militias and the acts that have gone on, not only in the general government, but what about the states? Remember, every state has its own state constitution. That means 50 different state constitutions now, right? And they're all slightly different, are they not? So while on one hand we say the Congress has authority to call out the militia and to do some of these things, that's true, but so do the states. And the militias are really state institutions, not general government institutions. So where does that breakdown happen? What about the states that became part of the Union originally, the 13, or states that have come along later? Now, we talk about the Equal Footing Clause, and we talk about all kinds of things, but we know there's a disparity, a wrong between the states. What about before or after the Civil War? So, militias are very complicated, and we teach the real. We teach the ideal, but we live in the real. In other words, sometimes the ideal is that militias are great. We need to have them. We need to use them to repel not only any invaders, but government when they get out of control, too. That's why the Founding Fathers said, hey, you have a right to keep and bear arms, and that right shall not be infringed. But understand, your rights don't come from the Constitution. They don't come from the Bill of Rights. They don't come from the Declaration of Independence. They don't come from any of those things, the Articles of Confederation or anything. They come from God Almighty. It's a God-given right of self-defense is what we're talking about. The founder just knew enough to codify it in the Constitution to say, hey, in the Bill of Rights, government, no touchy, right? I get it. But the complications are such to where it's very difficult now. If you use the word militia, you're blackballed, you're banned, you're shut down, you're an extremist, you're crazy. We can't just bring back the militias and start arresting people because who's in charge? Who's in charge of the militia? Well, Nick's answer would say the governor. Well, if the governor's in charge, what if the government says, hey, I'm not calling out the militia right now? What if Congress says, I'm not calling out the militia right now? Can the militia just act on its own? Who's in charge of the militia? Who gives the authority? Where's the order in the system? You see, you can't have a system that doesn't have order. Okay, well, is the county sheriff, does he have more authority than the, quote, captain or leader of the militia in a given state? Well, Nick would say no. I would say the problem with your narrative, sir, is that there's no head, there's no order, there's no chain of command, there's no, well, yeah, there is, Sam, the, you know, militia has charge of everything. They're the ultimate say of the people. But what you get, okay, so is it civilian? No, Sam, is it military? Well, no, Sam, it's kind of quasi. So now you want to tell me that a quasi-civilian military organization circumvents all three branches of government? Including the executive branch at the state level, the general level, and the county level? See, that's where you run into problems with the discussion, my fellow Americans. We teach to the ideal. The ideal is that militias have a proper role without a doubt, and we're not afraid of them. But the real is that they've been convoluted over the years to the point where, you know what? Let me give you an example to make the point. The history of the militia in Utah came from the Nauvoo Legion. What is the Nauvoo Legion? Well, back when the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, nicknamed the Mormons, back when they were in Nauvoo and in Missouri, right? They created the Nauvoo Legion as a local city militia, if you will, because the state was so abusive. What are you talking about, Sam? Well, Governor Boggs, who would be the man in charge of the militia back in the day, right, in the state of Missouri, literally created an extermination order against the Mormons and said, shoot all Mormons on sight, men, women, and children. So they fled the Nauvoo, Illinois, for safety. Well, they created the Nauvoo Legion then to say, look, hold on now. There's got to be a counterbalance to this belligerence of the state. Governor Boggs literally created an extermination order against humans, treating them less than anybody else in the country ever, including the blacks and the Indians and everybody else, right? Nobody else has had an extermination order against them. So they created the Nauvoo Legion. Well, anyway, when they fled to Utah because they got kicked out of every state in the Union by force, mind you, the first militia in the state of Utah was called the Nauvoo Legion. And it was a host of volunteers from the Mormons, or the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And this militia served the primary militia for the state of Utah until it was dissolved. Yeah, do you know what it was dissolved by? The Tucker Act. The Edmonds-Tucker Act. That's right. So anyway, all I'm telling you is that militias are very convoluted. So at the end of the day, we say in modern times, hey, the best way to put a militia together is to work with your sheriff, the chief executive in the most local level of government we can find, the county. You say, well, Sam, cities. Yeah, but cities get mayors, and mayors and city managers appoint police chiefs, and now they're not accountable to the people. They're not elected. So your most local elected executive branch is your sheriff, which has tremendous powers and precedes, by the way, even the United States organization, right? So the sheriff has tremendous power. What if you could create a sheriff's posse, and that sheriff's posse acted as the militia in your given area? Now you've unified the sheriff and the posse in a meaningful way, in a very productive way, to where you're not creating a convoluted situation where somehow some military quasi somebody is above all three branches of government. No, you're working through the executive branch as intended. The county commissioners can be involved and the judiciary can be involved. There's many great ways that this can happen. So I'm not trying to gut the militia, and I'm not trying to be afraid of the militia or afraid to talk about militias. But I do want people in modern days to understand that if you're not very careful, you set up your own militia. You set up your own, quote, common law courts. If you're not very careful, what you're setting up is a shadow government. And then they claim we're involved in insurrections and shadow government, trying to create government takeover. And it's hard to say they're wrong, is it not? Is there legitimacy in the elections we have? Only if we keep them honest. Wow, we got something to work on now, don't we? Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable, live.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
In message one, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power. Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1, that behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2, Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present-day, end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Good to be here, Sam. Thank you. Good to be with you.
All right, there's been a lot of talk about militias lately. We had a guy on Thursday, broke it down for a couple of hours, and the bottom line is I'm not afraid to discuss militias. I believe militias have an appropriate role in America today, but if we're not very careful, when people set up these common law courts and common law grand juries, if people want to believe that somehow the militia is outside of all three branches of government, at some point they're guilty of setting up a shadow government, which is very dangerous indeed. So I agree that the power ultimately is in the people. Remember, government derives its just power from the consent of the governed. That's the Declaration of Independence. So I get that and agree with that.
But if we're not very careful, we violate the principle that our founders taught, which is, you know what? We're not supposed to shuck our government or jettison our government for light or transient purposes. There's a balance here that we really got to focus on. There's a proper role and a way to work together. And so we teach that, you know what, sheriff's posses right now are the closest thing to a militia we have in modern times. And the only time a militia might make greater sense in a strict militia sense is if government's so off the rails to the point where we have complete societal breakdown. Until then, I submit we work within the system. We don't need revolution. We need restoration. Lo, with that summary, your take.
I agree with it, Sam. Makes perfect sense to me. The founders viewed the militia as everybody between 16 and 60, right? Pretty much all males within that age group. And for them, it was important for each state to have a militia, because without the well-regulated militia, as they said, then a free state could not exist. Why couldn't it exist? Well, because it wouldn't be there to thwart the purposes of an evil, tyrannical government that would impose its regulations and its willpower on the citizenry. So the original and hopefully current meaning of the militia is to protect against that. Now Sheriff Posse is I think something a little different than a militia, but I agree with you that I think it's dangerous to form these things outside of the publicly elected sheriff who is the chief law enforcement officer in the county. As long as
we don't have societal breakdown, hey, the sheriff's posse working together with the sheriff is the way to go. Those same trained people, if necessary, become the militia in terms of societal meltdown on the spot, if necessary. Anyway, they're already organized. All we would have to say is, look, the sheriff's not operable for whatever reason because we have societal breakdown. Therefore, the captains and those people that have been put in place can take effect immediately. So there's kind of a dual purpose here, ladies and gentlemen. If the government stays true to its proper role and limited functions and the consent of the governed is honored and everything else, they don't take power into themselves to jettison our republic and our checks and balances and engender tyranny, then, hey, we're glad to work within the system. At the same time, though, we need a stopgap for if they run off the rails so far. And the sheriff's posses could then evolve into a militia in about 2 seconds, if appropriately justified. So I say that because I don't believe that they're at odds, is the point, Lowell.
Mm-hmm. One nice quick way to defeat the argument that the National Guard is the militia referenced in the Second Amendment. People will tell you that. They'll say, oh, that's the National Guard. You know, and when you talk about the militia, they're the only ones who can be armed, for example. Well, one quick way to defeat that argument is simply to note that there's no such thing as the National Guard created at the time the Second Amendment was conceived and ratified. The National Guard didn't come until years and years later than after that. So, yeah, the militia here, referenced by the Second Amendment, does not mean the National Guard. It instead means, as we said, able-bodied males from 16 to 60. Or maybe it might be 18 to 60, but it's in that time
frame. Yeah, it's 16 to 60 in many cases. Some used to say that it started out as 15 to 45 or 15 to 50. So that's what I mean by there's a little bit of ambiguity when it comes to a lot of this stuff. But the reason that I focus so much on it right now, leading into your segments here, Lowell, is because your headline says military propaganda is being disseminated. Adam Dick with an incredible article on this very point, and it relates directly to the discussions at hand.
Well, it does, because over the Memorial Day weekend, there was a new movie that came out called Top Gun Maverick. And, of course, this is a kind of a reprise of his earlier show called Top Gun, when Tom Cruise starred in that probably, what was that, about 20 years ago, 30 years ago, maybe 40 years ago, 1980.
Yeah, the original Top Gun was like 30, 35 years ago, right?
Yeah, I think so. And there's a reason that it aired 35 years ago. We'll get to that in just a moment. But Adam is saying, you know, if you saw Top Gun, then you were one of many, because it was very popular over the weekend. He observed that it was number one at the box office, not only in this country, but in 30 countries. You know, I mean, it was very popular. Tom Cruise is a very popular actor. He does all his own stunts, by the way. Incredible guy. He doesn't need to keep working, but he does continue to work because he loves what he does. And that, by George is a secret that all of us could take a lesson book from. Be sure to choose a career that you fully enjoy and thoroughly love, because then work is never drudgery. It becomes play. It becomes something exciting and wonderful to go do every day. And it feels like you never worked a day in your life by the end of your career. So anyway, getting back to this Adam Dick column, which I agree is very good. He tells me something that I did not know. He says this: involvement of U.S. military in the development of a movie indicates that aspects of the movie were crafted to satisfy U.S. military demands, turning the movie into a mechanism for delivering U.S. military propaganda, end of quote. Well, you know, that really makes sense to me, Sam. I didn't really realize that. You know, I knew they had advisors, military advisors to these shows, so that what they showed was authentic. But what Roger Stahl here found, who is a communications professor at University of Georgia, he wrote an editorial, and in it summarized many of the findings that his research group had discovered. And what they discovered was that not only do the Pentagon and the CIA and these guys act as advisors for these movies, but they exercise direct editorial control over these movies. And there have been over 2,500 films and television shows over which they had direct editorial control. Now, why is that important? Well,
now, Lola, you know, Lola, I don't mean to interrupt. I need you to repeat that statement, sir. This is a shocking statement that you all need to hear. Say this again, sir.
The Pentagon and the CIA have exercised direct editorial control over more than 2,500 films and television shows, end of quote. Yeah, very, very important. Well, it turns out
let that sink in, ladies and gentlemen, because when you wonder the thoughts and the views and the beliefs and things we have about guns, about the military, about all our relationship to government, it's all in the 2,500 plus, and some of the most influential, Top Gun only being one of them. Lol.
Mm-hmm. They even have a department called Entertainment Media Office. This is an office within the U.S. Defense Department called Entertainment Media Office, and it allows the use of Pentagon assets and materials such as F-18s that were used in the making of this movie, Top Gun Maverick. They allow the use of those assets in exchange for control of the script. So if you want to make a movie, you want an F-16 or an F-18 in it, then you go to these guys and they'll agree to, you know, they may agree to allow you to use their military equipment, but only if you give them control of the script. So what kind of control do they exercise, you might ask? Well, University of Georgia professor, Roger Stahl, he indicated, well, they often excise, meaning take out, depictions of war crimes, torture, security of the nuclear arsenal, veteran suicide, sexual assault, and racism. In other words, if you're a writer and you want to give a true depiction of war, these are some of the things that you'll want to depict. But if you use assets of the Pentagon and Department of Defense, these are the very things they will remove from your script, because they do not want you seeing these kinds of things. Now, I agree that maybe security of the nuclear arsenal might be something that you would not want to reveal due to national security interests. But what about war crimes? What about torture, veteran suicide, sexual assault? All of these things are very much a part of war. And so why don't they allow them to be shown? Well, because they don't want to dissuade young people from joining the military. And that's where we get to the reason for this creation of Top Gun. It came out right after the Vietnam era, at a time of public reticence about military adventurism. The movie became a military-supported public relations blitz that supercharged recruiting and rebuilt.
It came out in 1986, ladies and gentlemen, and the effect of the manipulation of the CIA and the Pentagon on war is they make war glorified in the minds of Americans, ladies and gentlemen. Hang tight.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The World Bank warns of a global recession. Contributing factors for the group is COVID-19 in China, rising interest rates, and the cost of living crisis. They've all darkened the outlook through the end of the year. The cost of almost everything from food to fertilizers is soaring, causing consumers to spend less. As governments aim to bring down the cost of living, containing inflation without pushing economies into slowdown is the big challenge.
Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you.
Before becoming president, Dwight Eisenhower had a demanding job. Today marks the day of days. D-Day, on this day in 1944, was the beginning of the end for Nazi Germany. We are USA Radio News.
Hey, this is Al Robertson with my dad, Phil. One of the things that we've noticed is, you know, people start losing their hair many times early in life. Now, Dad, you managed to hang on to yours. Have you got some secret?
Yeah, get on this Keeps hair. You'll be a hairy guy like me.
I've got a little gap coming up on top of mine, so I know the hair loss sometimes can be a touchy subject with guys. And so what Keeps does is help you hang on to your hair. It's clinically proven. It's FDA approved. They have hair treatments available online. They have a physician there, so make sure you get the right product for you. Make sure it's safe. There's no waiting rooms. There's no pharmacy visits. Keeps is delivered straight to your door at about half the cost. That's half the cost. If you have any questions, you can message your Keeps doctor 24/7. So if you're a little tired of those balding jokes, go to keeps.com/Phil. 50% off your first order. That's KEEPS.com/Phil, P-H-I-L. Keeps.com/Phil. Hang on to your hair.
Gasoline prices continue to rise.
The national average for a gallon of gas is up to $4.81. That's 5 cents higher than Friday and over 20 cents higher than last week this time. The head of petroleum analysis for Gas Buddy thinks the national average will reach $5 per gallon as soon as June 17th. California has the most expensive gas at $6.30 a gallon. For USA Radio News, Los Angeles Bureau, I'm Ellie Andrews.
Bassist Alec John Such, a founding member of Bon Jovi, has died at the age of 70. John Bon Jovi made the announcement on social media Sunday. Alec left the band in 1994. Cause of death was not shared. For more information, visit us online at usaradio.com. We are USA Radio News.
All right, I'm with Lowell Nelson, ladies and gentlemen, campaignforliberty.org, and we're talking about this, wow, this propaganda, military propaganda disseminated, ladies and gentlemen, Adam Dick with the article talking about, hey, the CIA, the Pentagon, literally peddling propaganda and all kinds of films about war. And what they do is they basically sanitize war in a way that makes you feel like war is just incredible. I mean, it's just, and what it results in is this idea in America that, hey, we got to be at war all the time. That's the right, good, moral. In fact, promote war heroes. We become people of war. Why? Because we've literally been fed this propaganda from the government. And it's being documented now like no other. In 1986, that's when Top Gun came out. But it's been going on before that even. But Top Gun is one quintessential example of over 2,500 plus films and TV shows that the Pentagon has had literally direct editorial control over. Lol.
I can't say more than that, Sam. You're right. They glorify war in order to get people, young people, to join the military, and in order to gloss over so the older citizenry they don't object to war, and they keep on voting in their congressmen that give over to the president authority to make war against other countries, even though they don't have a declaration of war. So there are many. From this one bad apple, there are many ill effects that, upon our country, not only, lying to get young people into the military, but sort of medicating and placating the rest of the population into allowing the country to remain at war just on the president's whim rather than going to Congress for a declaration of war. So there's a lot of ills that come from this, Sam.
The bottom line is, you know what, when the truth is hidden, ladies and gentlemen, when you don't have the facts, then your view of reality becomes warped. It becomes deceived. And that's really the point that we're making. Let's tie that to the gun issues of today. The next column in LouRockwell.com really nails this point, but the two are directly tied together, in my opinion, Lowell.
This column is by Alexandra Bruce. He writes that mass school shootings were practically non-existent before 1999. That is 22, 23 years ago. And so in his 1991 book entitled Behold a Pale Horse, a formal naval intelligence officer turned whistleblower named Milton William Cooper wrote this, quote, "The CIA was using drugs and hypnosis on mental patients in order to persuade them to open fire on schoolyards to inflame the anti-gun lobby and do away with the Second Amendment," end of quote. Yes, this does sound incredible, meaning not credible, but the evidence is there. And so then we jump into, you know, Alexandra Bruce jumps into a very specific example of this. In the Columbine shootings of 1999, we were first told that Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold acted alone. But during the shootings, the police stood outside the building, did nothing, while the sounds of automatic gunfire and explosions continued for hours. In official transcripts, there were over 100 witnesses who saw more than the two shooters and more than 40 witnesses who identified the same two men in their 30s, one balding and the other with a short military-style haircut. Several witnesses described the same adult male throwing a pipe bomb on the roof of the library, all of them certain that it was not Dylan or Eric. And all of this information pertaining to additional shooters has been redacted, end of quote. In other words, Sam, the columnist here is suggesting that most of these mass school shootings are and have been the work of an evil side of the government, bent on creating a problem that the government alone can solve. This, what do they call that? Synthesis is the last word. They create a problem and then they give opposition to it.
Yeah, it's basically the Hegelian dialectic, right?
That's it. Hegelian dialectic. This all over again. And so he ends his column with this, Sam. He says, an honest investigation into any of the mass school shootings following Columbine will have the same signatures, such as prescribed SSRIs. Remember, we talked about this last week, folks, SSRIs and SNRIs. Prescribed SSRIs and other psychotropic drugs, psychological care provided by the state, and associations with law enforcement prior to the shootings, just like we saw with the retired federal agent in regular communication with the Buffalo gunman in a private Discord chat room.
We also see a breakdown of God, family, and country, too. No ties to anything that gives you stability in your life. God, family, loved ones, all those things are always in jeopardy in these cases as well, every one of them.
Mm-hmm. And then he raises some of the questions that Tucker Carlson raised just a night or two ago, that Tucker raised about the Uvalde, Texas shooting. In other words, how does Salvador Ramos have the money to buy, you know, $5,000 worth of weaponry, you know, body armor, two brand new AR-15s, 1,600 rounds of ammunition? I mean, he was working a fast food job. Where does he get that kind of money to buy that kind of weaponry? And he also asked, why did the police stand down while the children inside were being slaughtered, right? So
again, that's a standard pattern. The police always stand down on these critical things for some reason, and we never find out who gave the orders, and we never create accountability for those people either.
And this story in the Uvalde, Texas shooting has been changing almost by the day. It continues to change. I mean, how did the Border Patrol guy get inside, right? He says he just went through the door. does that mean the doors were locked? Well, no, I don't know. Anyway, stories are changing. The point of this article, Sam, is that there is true evil behind America's mass school shootings, and it deals with the government and others like the CIA, you know, working with these mentally unstable participants to do these shootings. Why? Because they want to take away your guns, guys. And so that's why we're talking about how to nullify federal gun control and what some states have done to do just that. But any more comments about this, the true evil?
One thing I want to say about this evil behind the scenes, ladies and gentlemen, is you know what? They're going to mock us as conspiracy theorists. They're going to say there's nothing to what we say. But I'm telling you, if you just recursory study these cases since 1999, they've ever increased in their frequency. Every time there's an immediate call by those who want to take our God-given inalienable right of self-defense away, every time the same patterns followed. You see a guy on psychotropic drugs, no ties to God, family, or country, always kind of some relationship problems of the opposite sex, a disgruntled male that somehow always has money for incredible weapons. Number two, they say they didn't even have the military hardware, the capability to deal with this guy. So you're telling me this guy that worked at a fast food joint had more military capability than the cops that were supposed to stop him? Are you kidding me right now? He was such a sharp shooter. They're always escalated way beyond their abilities, too, from the Oklahoma City bombing all the way through. Somehow they just have incredible pyrotechnic skills or armed. You know, they're great sharp shooters. And man, nobody can take them out. They're just military ready kind of thing. It isn't possible with these youngsters, folks. For the most part, these people are derelicts in society. They struggle with day-to-day interactions with people and social skills and everything else to the point. But somehow, I don't know, is it video game training? What is it? Somehow, they just have incredible capabilities to where they can just take out everybody and nobody can stop them because they're like Rambo. But yet, you know, supposedly they can write these incredible manifestos of their racist and their whatever agendas. And you always have a manifesto behind, but a dead person that can't talk. You always have the same pattern over and over. And then what they say is, let's take guns from the good guys. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be wise enough and careful enough. You've seen how abusive government can be when they get the chance with COVID and everything else. Ladies and gentlemen, the true evil behind America's mass school shootings at LouRockwell.com is an incredible column that highlights this. The glorification of in movies about the propaganda relating to military warfare, the cranking up of the military-industrial complex, all leads to this. Ladies and gentlemen, we better work on steps to dismantle and nullify federal gun control. We got to get this done. And Michael Bolden of the 10th Amendment Center.com highlights this. We need to be ready as a people to jettison this narrative. When they push for gun control, we need to push back so hard it's not even funny. Because they want you to believe this lie that, hey, guns in society is the problem. But I'm going to remind you, and I'm going to be very clear with this. Whenever a guy goes ballistic with a gun, it's a good guy that uses a gun to stop them. That's a fact. You cannot debate it. Every time somebody goes crazy with a gun, eventually a good guy with a gun stops them. Now, if that's true, all we need is more good guys with guns, right? See, how dumb am I? But they want to challenge that narrative. And I would say to them, look, what if we didn't have a good guy with a gun? Would this person be stopped or would they just continue to rage? Would that guy have just left the school after killing everybody and gone to the mall? What would be next? Okay, it's always a good guy with a gun that stops them. Therefore, we need more good guys with guns. Got it? Good. Quick pause. Lowell Nelson in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. How can we nullify these? How can we get involved? Do we have examples of solutions? Yes, we do. Lowell breaks it down in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
All right, Lil Nelson, we've got to take action, ladies and gentlemen. We can't be deceived into losing our God-given inalienable right of self-defense, codified in the Second Amendment, if you will. We need to keep our right to keep and bear arms and make sure that government does not infringe on that. That's our biggest, one of the biggest challenges we have today in America. People are doing it, though, and we have examples to follow, Lil.
We do, and so these 4 steps to nullify federal government control. Number 1, understand that the right to keep and bear arms is a natural right, not a gift from the government, not a gift from the Constitution, doesn't come from the Second Amendment. We obtain this right from our Creator at birth. This simple understanding, Sam, is so important. In other words, we don't have Second Amendment rights. We have a right from God that's guaranteed by the Second Amendment. That's how we ought to phrase that, so that people know that where our rights come from. They come from God, not from the government, not from the Constitution, not from the Second Amendment. That's the first thing. And Thomas Jefferson said as much when he said that a free people claim their rights is derived from the laws of nature, not as the gift of their chief magistrate. You know, different words, same concept. Okay, number 2. We the people must be willing to exercise our rights whether the government wants us to or not. So kind of like in your face sometimes, if we need to exercise our rights despite the government, that's what we do. James Otis said, there's nothing that will destroy liberty more than a prevailing opinion that it is better tamely to submit than nobly assert and vindicate our privileges. End of quote. So in other words, this number 2 step says, look, if government is leaning on you, oppressing you, now that right then is the time to stand up and exercise your right. Don't wait until it becomes more oppressive and more oppressive. But at the very first encroachment upon your liberty, that is the time to assert your right, stand up and to object. Number 3, refuse to cooperate with officers of the Union. This was James Madison's second of 4 points in Federalist number 46. Refuse to cooperate with officers of the Union. And his 4th point was for the legislatures of the states to erect barriers against such encroachment. And herein, Michael Bolden mentions that Missouri is the gold standard in this vein. Arizona is 2nd, basically silver, and Montana takes bronze if we're having a race to the gold standard protecting our natural rights to keep and bear arms. Now, the 4th point that Michael Bolden makes in his article here is to get rid of state laws that restrict the right to keep and bear arms. In other words, why would we do that? Well, because it's not hard for the feds to ban something most states have already banned, right? So if you have a gun registry in your state, then you can hardly argue against the federal government having a gun registry. And so that's the point. Now we get into, I want to talk about Missouri, right? Because Missouri, he said, is the gold standard in this vein, meaning standing up against the encroachment on our right to keep and bear arms. So what did they do in Missouri? Well, it occurred last year, just about 12 months ago, right about now, this time of year, after 8 years of tireless effort by dedicated grassroots activists, Missouri ended state and local enforcement of a wide range of federal gun control measures, past, present, and future. And this, by the way, is what differentiates Missouri from Arizona, why Arizona took the silver medal and Missouri took the gold medals, because, see, Arizona, they outlawed the enforcement of federal gun control measures that they don't enforce in the state, right? So if Arizona doesn't have a gun control measure, then they have repudiated the federal gun control measure of the same ilk or the same brand. But what Missouri did, they went far further than that. They say that any federal action infringement by the feds, infringements on the right to keep and bear arms, including the National Firearms Act of 1934, the Gun Control Act of 1968, President Trump's bump stock ban, the proposed federal red flag laws, and any future gun control schemes implemented by the federal government, they are null and void in the state of Missouri. Pretty powerful stuff. And so what is it in detail? Well, taxes and fees on firearms, firearm accessories, ammunition, not common to all other goods and services that would have a chilling effect on the purchase or ownership of those items by law-abiding citizens. The bill that was signed into law last year also includes the registration and tracking schemes applied to firearms, firearm accessories, and ammunition. In other words, it forbids the registration and tracking schemes. Any act forbidding the possession, ownership, or use of transfer of a firearm, firearm accessory, or ammunition by law-abiding citizens, and any act ordering the confiscation of firearms, firearm accessories, or ammunition from law-abiding citizens. This law defines a law-abiding citizen as a person who is not otherwise precluded from under state law from possessing a firearm. And so Taylor, who is one of the authors of this bill, said, "We're doing this because the Second Amendment is under attack. The bill is gun policy agnostic. We are saying in our state, in the state of Missouri, that is, we know what's best for our state." And the reason I bring this up, Sam, is because the Second Amendment is, again, under attack. And because of the Uvalde, Texas shooting, right? There's already two Republican senators who have said that they are going to bend and vote with the Democrats on whatever gun control measure they toss into the hopper there in Congress. And so it only takes 10 senators to cross the line and vote with the Dems in order to defeat the filibuster in the U.S. Senate. And so that's why this is under attack.
But if they jettison the filibuster over this too, then it'll be even easier. We're already in trouble.
You're exactly right. Yeah, we have got to protect the filibuster. See, that keeps the U.S. Senate from flip-flopping back and forth. When the Dems are in power, it flops one way, and when the Repubs are in power, it flops the other way. That 60% filibuster prevents the flip-flopping that would go on just mercilessly if they didn't have the filibuster, with just a 50% majority was required.
Yeah, parties are primarily the problem with that, though. People are, you know, have allegiance to a party, and that's why that massive flip-flopping would occur, because partisan politics, that's got to be jettisoned according to the Founding Fathers as well, but we digress. The point is, ladies and gentlemen, your gun rights, and I know that's a misnomer a little bit, you have God-given right of self-defense. Guns are the latest codifying efforts of that by the Founding Fathers. But your rights are in jeopardy here. And the founders were really, 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 really patient with King George. But the founders lost their patience when King George and his minions came for the guns. That's when the founders said, no, we cannot and will not cross that line. If we do, we'll never be able to recover. We'll never be able to protect liberty. And that's where we're starting to find ourselves today, Lowell, is the point.
Right. The author of this bill, Eric Burleson, he was a Senate sponsor. He said this. I thought this was interesting. He says, "What we're doing today is taking a stand against the tyrannical federal government. We are telling this president that he can go pound sand." End of quote. Yeah, exactly what James Madison had in mind in Federalist Number 46 when he spoke of the legislatures erecting barriers against the encroachment by the national authority. That's exactly what he said. So kudos to Missouri for putting this law in place last year. This is 21, right? June of 2021, when they put this law in place. Well, they did it. They've been working for 8 years to do something like this, And now they're an example to the rest of us across the country. We need to do the very same thing. You need to do the same thing in your state, folks. You need to nullify federal gun control in your state. The Constitution offers no warrant. There's nothing in the Constitution whereby states gave this authority to the general government. Zero. Zero authority.
Amen to that. And, Lowell, before the end of the hour, you need to talk about the anti-commandeering doctrine because it relates 100%.
Simply put, the federal government cannot force states to help implement or enforce any federal act or program. This anti-commandeering doctrine is based primarily on the five Supreme Court cases dating all the way back to 1842, but the 1993 Prince versus U.S. case serves as the cornerstone. This is the one where Richard Mack, as sheriff of Graham County, Arizona, refused to enforce the provisions of the Brady Gun Control Act in his county. Took it all the way to the Supreme Court and won. Quote, Congress cannot compel the states to enact or enforce a federal regulatory program. Today, we hold that Congress cannot circumvent that prohibition by conscripting the state's officers directly. The federal government may neither issue directives requiring the states to address particular problems, nor command the state's officers or those of their political subdivisions, like meaning counties, to administer or enforce a federal regulatory program. It matters not whether the policy making is involved, and no case-by-case weighing of the burdens or benefits is necessary. Such commands are fundamentally incompatible with our constitutional system of dual sovereignty. End of quote. That is the anti-commandeering doctrine that's laid out in Prince versus the United States. Sam?
Amen to that. And Missouri is the gold standard, ladies and gentlemen. They're doing a very good job. But understand this. We've got a lot of work left, though. Missouri just needs to repeal any gun control laws enacted to control guns at the state level as well. They've been really good at looking at the feds going, hey, you're out of control. I agree. But the state's encroachment on our right to keep and bear arms is as well a big problem. And we, the people, need to stand up. The good news is that even Democrats and Republicans are starting to realize there is vote fraud, and they're starting to realize that they are trying to take away our guns. And you know what? Democrats and Republicans alike, set aside partisan politics, people, and realize that we have a work to do. We need to demand of those who we've elected to say, hey, you know what? You have no business dismantling the documents and the safeguards that you've sworn to uphold. And if you do, if you betray your oath of office promise, we will absolutely replace you with somebody who will be true. That's the message. The states need to stand up, and they need to do it now. And we, the people, need to make sure that we give them the mojo to accomplish this task, Lowell.
Absolutely right, Sam, because today, even in debate in my own, among colleagues at work, right after the school shooting, for example, listen to this comment by a person who said, scrolling back to it, he says, okay, a fellow named Don here says, another school shooting and baby's dead. I feel so despondent. We need gun regulation now. How long will we tolerate this? ? And in a sad, smiley, face. And, I grieve with the parents who lost children, no question. But is gun regulation the answer? Absolutely not. Because as Sam said, it's always a good guy with a gun who stops the bad guys with a gun. You can't argue that. And so that's why we need, proper gun control is using both hands, Sam. We need guns. We need more good guys with guns. Sam?
Amen to that, ladies and gentlemen. And all I can tell you is this. Why take away rights from the good people when there are bad people that abuse it? Why don't we find ways to make sure that we focus on the bad guys? Well, it seems like the government's promoting the bad guys. If you study some of these articles we've been referring to today, the government provokes and becomes provocateurs in helping these bad guys do their dirty deeds. Let's expose that, create transparency, and arrest criminals, shall we? Lowell Nelson, thank you so much for your great work, my friend. CampaignForLiberty.org is his website. Check it out. He's with me every Monday with incredible insights into the troubled world, backed by solutions. That's what I love the most about Campaign for Liberty. CampaignForLiberty.org. For Sam and Lowell, God save the Republic of the United States of America.